The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whose blessed Son was led by the Spirit to be tempted by Satan, come quickly to help us who are assaulted by many temptations. And as you know the weaknesses of each of us, let each one find you mighty to save. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Ecclesiastes. I, the teacher, when king over Israel in Jerusalem, applied my mind to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to human beings to be busy with. I saw all the deeds that are done under the sun, and see, all is vanity and a chasing after wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be counted. I said to myself, I have acquired great wisdom, surpassing all who were over Jerusalem before me, and my mind has had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I applied my mind to know wisdom, and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is but a chasing after wind, for in much wisdom is much vexation, and those who increase knowledge increase sorrow. The word of the Lord. The psalm is read in unison. Happy are they whose transgressions are forgiven, and whose sin is put away. Happy are they to whom the Lord imputes no guilt, and in whose spirit there is no guile. While I held my tongue, my bones withered away, because of my groaning all day long. For your hand was heavy upon me day and night. My moisture was dried up as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my guilt. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Then you forgave me the guilt of my sin. Therefore, all the faithful will make their prayers to you in time of trouble. When the great waters overflow, they shall not reach them. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like horse or mule, which have no understanding, who must be fitted with bit and bridle, or else they will not stay near you. Great are the tribulations of the wicked, but mercy embraces those who trust in the Lord. Be glad, you righteous, and rejoice in the Lord. Shout for joy, all who are true of heart.
Thank you. Holy Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
After Jesus was baptized, he was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said again to him, "It is written, do not put the Lord your God to test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, their splendor, and said to him, "All these I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Do you believe in the devil? It's an uncomfortable subject, but I'm afraid that the devil is an unavoidable part of the Christian story. C.S. Lewis, the great Anglican theologian, says a wonderful thing about the devil that I want to focus on with you today. He says, when it comes to the devil, Christians make two fundamental mistakes. We make one of two mistakes. The first mistake that we sometimes make is we give the devil too much attention. The other mistake, though, is the opposite, is to deny the existence of the devil at all. So on the one hand, we don't want to give the devil too much attention, and on the other hand, we don't want to deny his existence. Many years ago, I met a woman who gave the devil too much attention. Whenever anything went wrong in her life, it was the devil's fault. When her car broke down and she couldn't get to a Bible study, the devil did it. If she didn't like somebody else, maybe the devil was in them. I found it all-consuming and kind of scary to listen to her speak, because she gave the devil so much power in her life. as if the devil played a huge role over all of creation. But on the other extreme, there are many who do not believe in the existence of evil at all. And I find that completely inadequate. On this day, the first Sunday of Lent, we do an ancient series of prayers called the Great Litany, where we pray for modern problems in an old tradition. And after hearing all of the suffering that has taken place in 2013, how can you not contemplate the existence of evil? For me, there is no other adequate explanation for all of the brokenness and suffering in this world. The Christian tradition has one Sunday in which we have to talk about the devil. One Sunday out of 52. On the first Sunday of Lent, every year we have this gospel. I like to call it the conversation. It is the conversation between Jesus and the devil. And any preacher that's worth their salt is going to have to talk about the devil today. But that's only one Sunday out of 52, right? So I think that our tradition is answering C.S. Lewis's conundrum well. We're giving the devil some attention. We're not denying his existence, but we're only giving him one Sunday out of 52. Think with me for a moment about the conversation that takes place between Jesus and the devil, because we can learn about how temptation works in our own lives by looking carefully at this passage. It tells us so much. First of all, and very importantly, Jesus dealt with the devil before he did anything else. Immediately after he was baptized, the first thing he did was to wipe out the devil. The first thing he did was to identify his own temptation and to say no to it. And such is true for us as well. You and I have got to master temptation if we're going to do any good in the world. You cannot go out and minister to others if you haven't figured out your own self and how the devil speaks to you and learned how to say no to temptation. It's also fascinating to me that when Jesus goes out into the desert, he simply waits and doesn't eat. And the devil comes to him. You see, we don't go to temptation. Temptation comes to us. And temptation doesn't come to us on our schedule. It's not going to happen next Tuesday at 4 o'clock to you. Well, maybe it will. But it's not within your control. Temptation comes to you at times that you cannot predict. It is not within your control. The devil comes to you. You don't go to him. Who would want an appointment with him anyway, right? So Jesus goes into the desert where there is no distraction. He sits and prays and waits, and temptation visits him. Now, the devil comes to Jesus in three archetypal ways that tell us a lot about how temptation works in our own lives. The first thing the devil says to Jesus is, "Break your fast, break your discipline, and feed yourself. You deserve it." I like to think of that ad, "Calgon, I'm worth it." Or is it Revlon? Feed yourself, the devil says. Put yourself in front of your vows and your discipline. That's the first temptation. The second temptation has the devil take Jesus to the height of the temple, and he says, throw yourself down from here. Take charge and test God, and I bet God will rescue you. Despair, attempt to kill yourself in an effort to manipulate God to do what you want. And finally, in the third temptation, the devil says to Jesus, you can have all the kingdoms of the world, all of them, if you will only kneel down and worship me. Feed yourself, kill yourself, take all the kingdoms of the world for yourself. Feed yourself, kill yourself, take all the kingdoms of the world for yourself. What do those three temptations have in common? The self. One of the essential aspects of the devil and of the forces of darkness is to pull you into yourself. The devil wants you consumed with yourself. Think about yourself. Be concerned with yourself. Get totally absorbed about what everyone else is thinking about you, or how you're feeling, or how you're doing. The devil wants you so absorbed in yourself that you cannot see clearly, and you cannot serve God. The devil speaks the language of me, me, and me. And temptation will make you think that you are more important than God. So, how do we learn how to say no to the tempter the way Jesus did? How can we master our own spiritual lives so that we can get rid of temptation and serve God and look beyond ourselves to something more? How do you do that? This past week, I went up to New England. I got a chance to see my son and pick him up from boarding school and go to General and preach a sermon at General Seminary in New York City. As you know, the weather up north is horrible. Oh my gosh, I'm so grateful to live here. It was freezing. I rented a Jeep with four-wheel drive just to make sure I didn't get stuck in a snowdrift. But as you know from either living up north or visiting, when you live in that kind of a climate and you go out to your car in the morning, every morning your windshield is covered with ice or snow or something, right? And sometimes you have to take out one of those scrapers and actually scrape off all that stuff. And then when you're driving, you have to keep your windshield wipers going a lot in the snow and ice just to keep your vision clear, right? I had to drive close to New York at night, and I was so grateful for those darn windshield wipers. It occurred to me, what would I do if my windshield wipers broke? I want you to think with me for a moment that the devil is like all that crud that gets on your windshield. Every day, there's something that begins to cloud your vision and make you get self-absorbed. Every morning when you wake up, there's probably something that you need to scrape off so that you can see more clearly. God's will for us is that we will be awake and alive and alert to see what God is doing in the world, to witness the beauty of the creation, and to serve God, to reach beyond ourselves. But every day, there's some stuff that gets in your vision and clouds it. And we've got to learn how to say no to that stuff and wipe it off, not giving it a lot of attention, but just saying no, wiping it clean again and again and again. At the end of the Gospel of Luke, there's this beautiful little sentence that's so important. It says that the devil leaves Jesus, but then it says, and I quote, "until an opportune time," which means what? He'll be back. The tempter keeps coming back. And you've got to learn how to identify temptation and wipe it away. Now, temptation is unique for each and every one of you. It often harkens back to your childhood. Let me give you an example. I knew a young woman once who was beautiful and accomplished in every way, and her career was thriving. And yet, as a little girl, her father had beaten her. And that gave the devil an entrance. And so every day, what the devil put on only part of her windshield, in the relationships area, you might say, the devil put on her windshield the concept that any man who loved her would mistreat her. And so as she was trying to navigate through life, it's as if there was a blockage on the windshield right there, or you might say a false map. And so she'd try to find a man she loved, but that man would always end up mistreating her. And this ended up happening over and over and over again, until finally she had the wisdom to come to me, wondering why, when she could succeed in every other area of her life, why she kept failing in her romantic relationships. Well, the first thing we had to do was identify the false map, identify the temptation. And only then could she scrape it off of her windshield, which took some time, by the way. And I have to say that almost every day I think that temptation rose up again, but then she knew what it looked like, and she could wipe it off. So what is it that the devil says to you? Does the devil make you frightened and anxious in the mornings for no reason that you can explain? Does the devil tell you that you're worthless or stupid or fat? The devil is smart, you know, but he's like a broken record too. And once you identify your temptations, you can begin to wipe them away. Now, Jesus had only three temptations. I have more like 342. But I have a lot that come back again and again, and I know how to wipe them away. Remember, the devil does not want you thinking beyond yourself. So whenever you get caught up in being totally self-absorbed, you know that temptation is going on. Oh, and generosity, giving to others without anything for yourself, is absolutely antithetical to the devil's work. So you must learn to give of your time, of your money, of yourself. Get out of yourself. Only then can we truly begin our ministry. Years ago, I came up with a new phrase for the word repent. You know, the word repent is metanoia. It's the opposite of paranoia. Paranoia would be turning into yourself in fear. Metanoia is turning out of yourself to God. So I think a great translation is get over yourself. Get over yourself. Learn how to wipe off those temptations as they arise. And then, my friends, you will be a force of good, something to be reckoned with. Then your ministry truly begins. Amen. And now let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. In accordance with the scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Welcome, everyone. Welcome. Congratulations, you sprang forward pretty well. Let's see, what time is it? In about 15 minutes, I bet a few people will be joining us. I'm glad you made it. If you're new to our congregation, please raise your hand so we can greet you and bring you a gift bag, but you have to hold your hand up so we can find you. Keep it up there so they can find you. We're so grateful that you're here with us today. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And everyone, please welcome them and greet one another. I love it how you're greeting each other at the peace. That's cool. Be nice to each other. This is the community of God. Today is Episcopal Relief and Development Sunday. A lot of the facts that we read about in that beautiful prayers that Mike Miller sang are from Episcopal Relief and Development. They go all over the globe taking care of the poor, and they are celebrating their 75th anniversary this year. They have a Lenten booklet of meditations that's available for you. It can be found in the narthex and various locations of the church. It's free. So if you'd like to read a little meditation each day during Lent, pick one up. I want you all to think about your practice during these 40 days. This is a great opportunity to draw closer to God. Tonight at 5:00, the choir will offer a Lenten evensong, which is very beautiful, one of my favorite services of the year. So if you love music and quiet, we invite you at 5:00. There are Lenten brochures in your pews which describe some small groups or courses that are being offered during this season. I hope you'll think about trying something new, particularly being a part of a small group to build community. There's also something online on the back of your brochure that is called the Lenten Challenge. If you want to, you can sign up to pray 20 minutes a day, worship an hour a week. You can check that off this week, right? and then 4 hours of service to the poor during the whole season of Lent. So if you feel like you can tackle that and you can sign up for it, sign up for the Lenten Challenge. Episcopal priests, friends of mine, and I have been working on this. We're trying to spread it across the nation. It's a wonderful way to get back to the practices of the faith. Remember that the devil hates generosity. So be generous with your church. Amen.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Father, you made the world and love your creation. You gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. His dying and rising have set us free from sin and death. And so we gladly thank you with saints and angels praising you and singing. Praise and bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. As we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit, that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends, and taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread, gave it to them, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine. Again, he praised you, gave it to them, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him, we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. Bringing before you the bread of life and cup of salvation, we proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory. Great is the mystery of faith. Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favor on your people gathering us in your loving arms and bring us with all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, O loving Father, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We do not presume to come to this your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you. You are the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith, with thanksgiving. Now please join me in sending forth our lay Eucharistic visitor who will bring communion to those who cannot come to church. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Go out into the world in peace, brush away the works of the devil, and turn your focus to God. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.